Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
See, a lot of promises unkept.
They're putting that stimulus check on the back burner. They're putting the minimum wage hike on the back burner. And they're dropping bombs in Syria right now. And those bombs are kind of expensive for a dude who owes me $2,000.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Is something about your dad's immigration practices you feckless?
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then got out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
President and the Speaker Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi appeared at something the other day called the Democratic Caucus Virtual Issues Conference. It was a mostly unremarkable event, but there was one moment that stuck out. Toward the beginning of it, Nancy Pelosi declared, unprompted, that her grandchildren no longer use the phrase open sesame.
We do not say open sesame. We say open Biden. That's our magic word. Open Biden. I love it.
We don't say open sesame, we say open Biden. What does that mean? We have no idea. Waiting for a response from the Speaker's office, we'll bring it to you.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick
them. How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
President and the Speaker, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, appeared at something the other day called the Democratic Caucus Virtual Issues Conference. It was a mostly unremarkable event, but there was one moment that stuck out. Toward the beginning of it, Nancy Pelosi declared, unprompted, that her grandchildren no longer use the phrase open sesame.
We do not say open sesame. We say open Biden. That's our magic word. Open Biden. I love it.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world. Media, or CNM as the network has been shortened to, is growing again. Airing on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on CNM because now is the time for this network and his show, American by Design. As before, but with more urgency than ever, American by Design is back with the mellow voice of Bing, and that voice will help keep us all informed about what the Democrats have in store for us and why we have to fight them every step of the way. Because socialism is not for us, freedom is. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. The war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. Mm-hmm.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Hanner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico and CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
If you've already had the Chinese coronavirus, why do you have to get vaccinated? It's a simple question. I have the antibodies. They say, first they say masks don't work, then they say wear a mask when you shower, then they say wear two masks. And by the way, I am mask agnostic. I don't mean, if you're wearing, no, I really am. No, I mean this non-sarcastically. And there's people here wearing masks, and there's people not wearing masks. And I mean this, we should never insult people that wear masks. I say that non-sarcastically, because we believe in liberty. If you believe they work, then wear a mask. If you don't believe they work, then don't wear a mask. It's really not that hard. It's not hard. What I came up against is the mask mandates. that you're going to go into a private place of worship or enterprise and say, I'm going to force you to do something, which is so incredibly philosophically ironic for the people that say, my body, my choice. Reason and revelation, the mixture of both, built Western civilization. Reason is our capacity to solve problems in a chaotic, natural world. Math. Yes, science. What is the scientific method? Are we using it? We're using the opposite. We're using an unchallenged, unquestioned premise at all costs. And so I understand the initial, the first 2 weeks where we slowed down and we said, we don't know what we're dealing with. What is this virus? What are the mortality rates, the infectious rates? Who's most at risk? But when 2 weeks became a month, and it became 2 months, and we realized who was at risk, what we needed to do to protect those people, provide services for those people. Every school in the country should have opened instantaneously. And the idea of challenging something that is dogma is always the right thing to do. Now, what's amazing is the more you challenge the truth of the Bible, the more it actually proves itself to be true. We should never be afraid of inquiry of the Bible. I tell people all the time, go find me a cheerful, successful, happy person that is not living consistent with the tone and tenor of the Bible. They might not be saved, but the truths of the Bible are always true. That there is a God that created you in his image, and he wants to get back in a relationship with you, and he sent an intermediary for you to make that possible so that you might have eternal life, because we are broken and you're not going to get there on your own. And so instead, the idea of challenging what is said on TV from Fauci or from our public health officials, and I say this completely honestly, I don't remember your governor's name because she's not worthy of remembering her name. I mean, that's actually true. It's true. So, if you study the Bible, names mean a lot. Simon Peter Ruck, right? One who struggles with God. I don't care about her name because she has not done anything wise or moral for me to remember it. So the tyrant who runs your state, that's how she will be referred to for the next couple days. And I hope she's watching, and I hope her public health office is watching. I hope they're all watching. Every one of them. Steve is loving all this, by the way. You could just go. She will have to answer for what she did for the children of this state by keeping schools closed. She will have to answer for the drug overdoses. She will have to answer for the suicide rate increases. She will have to answer for the 40% of small businesses that will never open again. She will have to answer for that. And her whole team of people that say, trust the science. Now, here's how you know that they actually don't believe what they are saying. Because they constantly violate their own ordinance. They eat at French Laundry with all of their friends, like Gavin Newsom. He keeps restaurants closed, and then he dines amongst his other friends. If they actually believed in the mandates they were putting forward, they would live by them. This goes to number two, and I have to stay on schedule here because usually around like 40 minutes, I just start to get warmed up. So you got to work within the framework here. Okay, number two. The difference between states matters more than I ever realized. And I come here to New Mexico, and you guys are a victim of this. And I don't like saying people are victims. It's actually against one of my main messages. But it's unmistakable that you have been abused by your governor and your government in this state. Truly. Other states like Florida, with the second oldest population in the country, have lower hospitalization rates virus death rates, right? Rates are more important than total macro number. I was arguing with someone on the left, and they said, well, Florida has more deaths than New Mexico. And I said, well, yeah, because they have 10 times the population. A little bit of a, again, wisdom. It's not exactly taught all the time. So, I really want to focus on the five things I learned in the 15 days to slow the spread, which has been a whole year. And it's been very interesting. But one thing I've heard a lot of pastors say that don't want to get involved is they say, well, it's separation of church and state. We don't do politics around here. First of all, that's not biblical. It's not constitutional. It's not moral. But let's take their unbiblical, unconstitutional, immoral phrase at face value. Let's just pretend they're right for a minute. Why don't we keep the state out of the church then? Why don't we say, hold on, the government has no business what happens in here? Because under their own belief, they've always been worried about the church taking over the state, when in reality, the threat has always been the state taking over the church. And so that's what I want to focus on here. And just so everyone has a little bit of a baseline, I am an evangelical Christian, a Bible-believing Christian. It's the most important thing in my life. For those people that are here that have never been in a church before, welcome. And I encourage all of you, and throughout this speech, I'm going to hopefully make a case that you need Jesus in your life. There's a God who made you in his image, and he wants to get to know you, and he wants to get in a relationship with you. And why I do what I do at Turning Point, why I speak at churches, is of course to spread the gospel, but I believe that's the most important thing you can do. But if you don't have the freedom to spread the gospel, we're all going to be sharing the gospel from prison. And I am not exaggerating. And it's happened time and time again. That pattern replicates itself. And so the gospel in four words is Jesus took my place. In three words, it's him for me. In two words, it's substitutionary atonement. One word, grace. Justice, mercy, grace. What's the difference? Justice, you get what you deserve. Mercy, you get less of what you deserve. Grace, someone serves the punishment for what you deserve so you can live free. That's what we believe. That's what gets us into action every single day. So, one thing I'm called to do is to try to activate churches and Christians to stand up in this moment. It's a kairos moment. It's a Greek word for action point. It's a biblical word. So, what are five things I learned in the last year of the 15 days to slow the spread? First of all, number one, science, reason, are dying if not dead. One of the most pathological things we have seen in the last year is people say, trust the science. And in reality, they have no business whatsoever ever caring about the science. I'll prove it to you. Science, I believe, the more we explore the scientific world, the more it actually proves the word of God. Thomas Aquinas was the first person that actually wrote about this. For example, a spherical earth. Quarantining the sick, not the healthy, are all biblical ideas. You can find that in Leviticus. The idea of life beginning at conception. All of these things are in the Bible thousands of years ago before the scientific discoveries were ever done. The more we learn the scientific realm, the more we realize that belief in the world around us without an intelligent creator takes far more faith in that than faith in believing that there was actually an intelligent creator that created you in his image. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. So science and reason trust the science, they say. They never believe that. What they're really saying is trust the scientists that we put on television that are wrong about everything. Dr. Fauci should be fired immediately. It's true. I'm not going to get into his personal character. I don't know the man, but he has no wisdom. Zero. This is one of the greatest disservices that we have ever done to young people. We fill them with convenient facts that fit a narrative, yet there's no wisdom. Why? Where does wisdom begin? What does it tell us in Proverbs? the fear of the Lord, then you get wisdom. There's no God in our schools, there's no wisdom. And Dr. Fauci is a perfect representation of it. There's no wisdom in that man. Zero. Just power, fear-mongering, and what I call safetyism. And this state has failed the test. It has. You're seeing increases in crime, carjackings, violent crime, teenage issues, the likes of which that will take a generation to solve. Where other states have decided the New Mexico, California, New York, Illinois model, they remain shuttered. What about states that are open? Florida is a great example. South Dakota is another example. Texas, opening no masks, no social distancing, no orders. And I know this hurts in New Mexico, but let me tell you how it could be worse. Imagine the whole country was New Mexico. Now, I know this is a very important point. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. We are a federation of states that give up our sovereignty to a federated government. The German model, the Belgian model, the French model, the Italian model, it doesn't work that way. When an order comes from the centralized government, everyone follows it. The provinces have no say whatsoever. So liberal Justice Louis Brandeis talked about the laboratories of democracy, the differences between states. And so now hopefully this is a great teaching lesson to a lot of your friends here in New Mexico. The fact that you have not had a Republican legislature in 90 years, I think since you officially became a state, that elections have consequences. That you pay all this in property taxes, you pay all this in sales tax for shuttered schools, declining education rates. Meanwhile, your neighboring states have open schools and open businesses and lower virus death rates. And I would hope this is an awakening moment for the people in New Mexico. I hope this is a moment where we say, we're not going to take this any longer. And I want to build on that point, which is people have said that Steve and your church is in violation to the governor's orders. In fact, one of the other pastors here who runs a Calvary Chapel, he's a complete fool, I must say. He really is. No, he's a total fool. And I read what he wrote, and he has no wisdom because he attacked your pastor for opening. And he says, how dare you violate the governor's orders? I say, hold on a second. The governor is violating his freedom and your freedom. You got it all wrong. The idea that the sovereign is somehow the government is so backwards. It really shows, and I'll get into this in a second, that too many pastors in this country have no idea why we were founded, our foundational ideas, how exceptional this country is, how it actually is a gift from God, the greatest experiment in civil government in world history. So to believe something like that, you must believe that the governor is in charge and you're the subject. What makes the American model different is that the citizens are in charge and the government works for us. It's completely different. Therefore, and this is why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written in the history of the world. It says it comes from the belief that you naturally, made in God's image, have rights. A right to consciousness, a right to movement, a right to speech, a right to protection, a right to buy and own property. And the biggest concern the founding fathers had was not first and foremost what you would do with that freedom. No, the first concern they had is what would happen if someone tried to take your freedom away. So therefore, the compact that we have in this country, the partnership, if you will, the way it was designed and the way a pastor should articulate it, is they took the teachings of the Bible, the revelations of the Enlightenment, articulated them in a document where the governor has absolutely no right to come into a private religious assembly and tell you what you have to do with your own assembly. Now, people say, well, what about public health? If everything in life was about sacrificing liberty for safety, then we must have a very different conversation of what we have in our country.
In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, I Am the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless. From photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employees. That's I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, at 505-317-8741, or email us at gardingr@reagan.com. That's GARDINGR@REAGAN.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
One, two, three, four. Awesome, coming out there. Well, I could echo. It goes right through my head. But I had that happen once, but it was chemically induced.
I wrote a sarcastic piece that actually, unfortunately, satire is quickly becoming reality. Dr. Seuss's band, No Men, No Women, Men and Women Sports, Aunt Jemima, Gone with the Wind. No, it's like I things that would have been sarcasm 5 years ago. I cannot tell if I'm reading the New York Times or the Onion sometimes. I mean that. It's true. And so something I wrote sarcastically that I guarantee you will be pushed by somebody is if we were serious about saving lives and liberty is not a value we care about, let's get rid of driving. Seriously. And though they will argue this because of the environment, because of climate change, all these things. 50,000 people die on the road every single year. 50,000 people. But no rational or reasonable people that has actually benefited from motorized transport, the liberty of having such, would argue that the abolition of all transportation is something that a mature, wise society would do. Instead, we'd say, well, let's figure out a safer way to transport ourselves. Seatbelts, airbags, traffic lights, removing licenses from people that get multiple accidents. See, that's what a mature society does. Yet our handling of the pandemic, or what just happened here, was the exact opposite. It was as if, at all costs, we must embrace a belief of safetyism, that freedom and liberty does not matter. And this is a very difficult thing to tell you. Liberty comes at a price. When you have liberty, here's the promise. People will abuse it. There will be consequences. There will be things you might not like. But however, we accept all of that because the benefits far outweigh any of the costs. The same with gun ownership. We love the Second Amendment, right? We make this argument all the time. that private gun ownership, there will be people that abuse that technology. But the benefit of owning it and having it far outweighs the potential cost, and we have lost that altogether, which I find so amazing for all the people on the left that are constantly arguing for drug legalization and all the other things. They say, oh, we should be allowed to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, but you must wear a mask when you're inside. Like, at some point, the Leviathan government implodes upon itself. Okay, I have to stay on schedule. Over the last 100 years, who has been more successful? American Christians or American leftists? American leftists, and it's not even close. The fastest growing religion in America is leftism. It's not even close. People say, really? Yes. Do you see how many churches are embracing BLM Incorporated? You see how many Christian pastors are embracing this sort of belief? Over the last 100 years, we are now seeing the secularization of America. If you don't believe in God, then right and wrong is merely an opinion. This drives atheists nuts when I say it, so I will repeat it for emphasis. If you do not believe in God, right and wrong is merely an opinion. And people say, well, I know what's right through life experience. You see, this is exactly... this is a huge missed opportunity by the American church. You ask most college kids, you go to University of New Mexico, and you ask someone there, and you say, do you believe people naturally are basically good or basically bad? They will say people are basically good. You must have gone to a college to believe something as foolish as that. It's true. You see, if you grow up in a wealthy, generous, benevolent society as America, where things generally work, it's easy to get desensitized to the belief that people are just naturally generous to each other. This is the exception. We know this. The Bible tells us this clearly. Original sin, distance from God. It's who we are naturally. And I can prove it to you. Do you have to teach goodness to a three-year-old? Yes. Do you have to teach a three-year-old to lie, steal, cheat, or manipulate to get what they want? No. It's built into their DNA. They figured it out. We have whole schools and academies, repetition and discipline to teach goodness to our children. Why? Because creating good people is hard. And most countries have not been able to do that. So in the 1940s and 50s, we used to teach young people, you are the problem and America is awesome. Now we teach young people, you're awesome, and America's the problem. Where now young people, students, are not told, you might have to improve your life. Instead, go destroy the country around you, and that will create a better place. No gratitude for what came before them. But the point I really want to make here, which is the more condensed point, I asked about the religion of leftism and Christianity. And Christianity in America, this church aside, has grown weak, complacent, and quite honestly complicit with some of the most sinister political movements that I could possibly put my finger on. The church, and this is a tough realization, is far weaker than I thought. It really is. The church founded this country. It's that simple. People say, this country is not founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Anyone who said that has no understanding whatsoever of Blackstone, of John Locke, of the writings of Thomas Jefferson, the belief of the founders, George Washington, regular church attending, God-fearing, Bible-inspired, courageous men and women, Abigail Adams, but we should be unafraid to say men without having to like qualify it. So courageous men, I think that's an okay thing to say, right? And so this is going to be a deciding moment for the church. So Rick Warren, who played an impact on my life, and some pastors don't like the fact I call out these pastors by name, tough. Rick Warren, who runs a church, Saddleback Church, and he had a really big impact on my life on finding Jesus and the gospel, but he is failing the test currently unbelievably. So Rick Warren comes out, and this is so unbiblical, it's hard to even unpack in the 16 minutes I have remaining, where Rick Warren says, God does not care how you vote. In fact, he said there's no difference between each side. Now, I'm not here just going to say that Republicans are awesome and Democrats are awful. I'm not going to say it. I'll get close to it, but I'm not going to say that specifically, right? No, but the second part of it. The point is God cares about everything you do. What does God not care about what you do? God cares about what you say, who you marry, how you act, what you eat, where you travel, what work you participate in. This kind of idea that God somehow gives a permission slip, a moral pass to any one of your actions, is completely antithetical to the idea of an omniscient, omnipotent creator that cares about everything you do. More importantly, voting is a reflection of your values. Voting is you getting into the public square and saying, this is what I believe, and I want to at least have a singular moment where I can reflect that. That's the least, by the way. Let's just be clear. Voting is like the minimal that a Christian should be doing in the public square. So some pastors like Rick Warren will come out, or Andy Stanley from Georgia, they'll come out and they'll say, well, Christians should not be involved in politics. Who's heard this before? This is the enemy whispering in your ear. It is unbiblical. Daniel, Mordecai, Esther, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Joseph. What are we supposed to do with God's people influencing secular government for his purpose? What are we supposed to do about that? Now, your pastor here had a Daniel moment, and he passed. Remember what happened in Daniel? He did. In Daniel, Daniel was a counselor to the king. That is the role of Christians. Counselor to the king. Remember that. We're always supposed to say, there's a sovereign government. We are the sovereign. We have given our permission to this government. We should be influencing that government for God's purpose. We should be running for office. We should be voting. We should be running candidates. We should be participating, watching broadcasts. We should always be influencing secular government for God's purpose. So what? How did your pastor pass his Daniel moment? Well, in Daniel, I think it's Daniel 6, the king, who he was a counselor to multiple kings, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, said basically, you're not allowed to follow the traditional Jewish law. You can't pray. So you know what Daniel did? Went home and opened up his window to the city and say, watch me. That's your pastor passing the Daniel moment. So this is the moment. It's this simple, and I'll get to it in my final one, but the church built this country. The left, the secularists, the nihilists, the people that believe there's no difference between men and women, the people that want your borders open, the people that want to keep you shut down, you know what they fear more than anything else is an active church. They fear it. This is why they try to, like snakes, come into the church and say, don't get involved in politics. There's no difference between the two parties. Abortion's not that important. You don't have to do that. And they just say, calm down your involvement. And you know what some pastors say is, I only care about the gospel. So do I. That's why I care about politics. For example, the gospel, what does it mean? Good news. If all of a sudden the church is deemed non-essential, how exactly are we supposed to spread the good news? And they always come for the church. Now, understand, they first come for the churches they don't like. You see, the Calvary Chapel down the street with the pastors whose name I forget, who writes bad things about your pastor, who attacks your pastor, they won't touch him. Like, it's hilarious. They actually fined him for doing the candlelight thing. But they'll touch you first. They want the disagreeable church to be silenced. Here's why. Is they know the only thing between them and their power grab is people that spend 30 minutes worshiping something that isn't government. You just spent 30 minutes admitting, whether you realized it or not, if you participated in that worship is, you, governor, don't matter as much as my Lord, therefore I take my orders from them and not from the governor.